don't know why they taught the resurrection, but you know, Jesus said, unless you become like her, you'll never enter his kingdom. I mean, did you notice that even at this young, at a young age, I'm going to tell you, I think Katie takes her dancing after her mama, and she likes to shake and move, right? And you're like, children have something that Jesus wants us to have. And so today, I want to look at what they said. Because when they gave me what the children were going to read that they read to us, that you read along with on the board, I was like, that's powerful. Like Malachi, did you pay attention to what Malachi read, the very first reader? He said, after the Sabbath ended, at the first light of dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look for Jesus. It's out of Matthew 28, paraphrased out of the Passion Translation. After the Sabbath. You know, you think about, when was the first Sabbath? When God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it, and every day God created, and God created, he created, he created, and then on the seventh day, he rested. And you know, I guess in my mind, you know, why is that such a big deal? Why did Mary and Mary go to the tomb after the Sabbath? You know what happened there that day? When in creation, and also when Jesus went to the cross, before he went to the cross, he said, it's finished. And he bowed his head and he died. You see, I believe what Jesus did on the cross was the beginning of something and not the end. And we sang about it in this song we sang this while ago. It's like, do you know here's what God did. After he created everything in the earth, he said, it's good, it's good, it's good. Six times he said, it's good. And then on the seventh day, he created man and he created woman. And he stood back and he said, it's very good. Do you know that when an artist working on a masterpiece, a painter, a sculptor, they work and they work and they work and they work and they work, and there's thousands and tens of thousands of strokes of a paintbrush. And then at some point, that artist puts the last touch. And it's not because they're exhausted. It's because they're like, it's done. This is it. And I believe that God, when he went to the cross, he said, you know what? It's done. Now the purpose of all of creation is done. Now we can become one with man. You see, that's what that was about. And so we read that and we say, how interesting that he did it on the Sabbath. I believe God, he wasn't exhausted. He wasn't tired. He was like, ah, that's good. You know that feeling. When you've done something and you finished it and it's good. You know that's what God thinks when he looks at you? That's what the cross was all about, was so that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit could come and live inside of his perfect, ultimate creation, which was you and me. He looks at you and he can rest. I'm done. This is it. This is what I've dreamed of my whole life. You see, Jesus' death was just the opening of the door for a relationship with you. It was a big deal. And so the early church, I'm not belittling the cross, but I just want us to realize his goal was what was finished, which was his relationship with man was now made possible by the death, burial, and resurrection of his son. And so I read that and I think it's good. You know, then Eleanor, she read this part. She said, suddenly the earth shook violently under their feet as the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. Lightning flashed around him and his robe was dazzling white. There's nothing by accident in Scripture. There was nothing by accident in Jesus' entire life. And I look at that, and here's what I thought about. You know, the truth is, the earth couldn't stop Jesus Christ and God's plan for the world. There's nothing on this earth that could stop God's plan. The grave couldn't hold him down. And the same thing's true for you. You see, you and I, we struggle in the earth. We struggle to make a living. We struggle to survive. We struggle in this earth. Sometimes things get piled up against us. Sometimes we're sick. Sometimes we fail. Sometimes there's other things that happen. But I want to tell you, nothing in this earth can stop God's plan for your life. And he couldn't stop his plan for Jesus. And then she said, She read that part and said, listen. And then the Lord descended from heaven. Lightning flashed around him and his robe was dazzling white. You see, God has a purpose, and there's nothing in the spiritual realm that can stop his purpose for you either. And I think sometimes in our world, we get overwhelmed by what we see, and what we hear, and what we feel, and we forget that God's God. The same as nothing could stop Jesus. There's a blazing light waiting to shine out from inside of each one of us that nothing in the heavens, no demon, nothing can stop that light from shining, because that light comes from Jesus. And you couldn't stop the light inside of Jesus 2,000 years ago. Nothing can stop the light in you today. Nothing in this world, nothing in the spirit realm can stop it. And, you know, I like this. The power of the resurrection in you. You see, his resurrection was also our resurrection. Here's what Ephesians chapter 1:18, Paul said this. I like this verse. Let me get to it. I forgot to do that. I put that song up. That was such a powerful song. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. I pray that we'd all become like those kids and believe what the Bible and the Lord tells us. You know, the kids, they thought when they asked them to come step on stage and their mamas held them to come up here, they all did it. Because why? They trust their mothers. I just pray God make us like kids that we would trust our Father. When he says stand up, even if we're scared to death, we stand up. When he says sing, we sing. When he says dance, we dance. If God walked in this room right now, Jesus Christ himself, and walked up on this stage and made you stand up and dance, some of us wouldn't do it. We'd rather die. God, make us like a child again. Make us like a kid, right? He said, and Paul said, I pray that your eyes would be opened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. God, what God has inside of us, the light that's inside of you, it's his inheritance. It's his purpose, his plan. And he prays, God, I pray that we would understand his incomparably great power for us who believe. You know what's going to release the power of God in your life is believing. That's what releases his power. It's not about willpower. It's not about self-control or self-effort. It's about what do you believe. Do you believe that the power of God in you is greater than the power of God in this world? Do you believe the power of God in you is greater than the power of what's been in your life and the controlling you, the physical world, the spiritual realm? He said this, I love this, that power, the power that God planned for humanity, this is what the scripture says, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand. Do you know he's just waiting for our yes? He's just waiting for you to believe that maybe what he says about you is true, and maybe your past isn't true. I love that we sing those songs. Over and over in the songs, the psalm writers, the poets in our society, they say it over and over again. God, it's not about me or my past, it's about you. What do you believe? You know, I love that, and I love that passage. Judah then read this passage. The guards were terrified. Did y'all like the way Judah emphasized terrified? I started to get scared. I love the way you said that, Judah. Oh, you're back there. I love that. Terrified! That was a great, I'm glad you did that. Where was I at? He is terrified, and they lay still like dead men. Then the angel walked up to the tomb. The angel walked up to the tomb and rolled away the stone and sat on top of it. They told the whole story. The women were terrified. Everybody in the place was terrified. Until, if you deal with fear, if you deal with the spirit of fear, you know there's an until. That means there's a day when that's done. You know when that's done? It's when the Lord speaks to you. Because when the Lord speaks to you, you no longer fear a sub-spirit like the spirit of fear. It's just the demon. When the Jesus speaks to you, you're not afraid anymore. And the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who is here. He isn't here. He is risen. You see, the thing that's kept you in prison, You realize that the enemy places guards around us to keep us down. You see, there's spirits in this world that are reminding you of every failure and every doubt and every decision and every mistake you've ever made. There's a spirit of fear. There's demons that are constantly keeping you in the grave, keeping you in the grave, keeping you in the grave. And that's what those guards were. Those guards were put there to keep Jesus in. Because Herod, they couldn't afford for Jesus to rise from the dead. That means what he said was true, that he is the Messiah. And you know what? The enemies put guards around your life too. And those guards have been stripped of their power. They've been put down. You see, and then what did he do? You know, it's sort of interesting, I think, that the stone, why did that angel sit on the stone? I mean, it was one thing to shake the ground and roll off this huge stone out of the way, and then the angel sits down on it. You know, I believe it became a part of the testimony. And you know, the things that keep you locked in the grave, that keep you down, that keep you underneath, that keep you less than, that keep you in bondage, those things were actually created to become a testimony in your life. That stone doesn't hold Jesus down anymore. The angel rolled it away. You don't have to be ashamed of the stones in your life that were keeping you down. Now they're a testimony. Yeah, I was this, but now I'm this. Yes, I did fail, but now I serve a king. Yes, I was less than everybody else, but now, oh yeah, I was stupid, I'm dumb, but I've got a Savior. His name's the Lord. And the same power that raised Jesus out of his grave lives inside of you. And I love that the scripture is so accurate. And it said the same power. It's really true. That prison, that spirit of fear lost its right to control us that day when Jesus rose from the dead. If you deal with fear, I want to tell you, it has no right. And you can deal with it. Before Jesus rose from the dead, the spirit of fear of death was ruling in the world. And people would kill people, and people would do horrible things driven by a demonic spirit of fear. You don't have to submit to that spirit of fear anymore. You look it in the eye and challenge it and claim the blood of Christ in your life. You don't have to listen to that spirit. And I think it's really true. And then Malachi, he read this passage. You guys heard it. Come inside the tomb and see the place where our Lord was lying. Then run and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. I give you his message. I'm going ahead of you. Listen, you see, a few months ago we did a baptism and they called it Left in the Water. Was that what they called it, if y'all remember right? And it was a very powerful time of baptism in our body. And the truth is, when you die with Christ, everything from your past is dead. You leave that in the tomb. It stays there. Why did they ask the girls to come in and see what was in there? Because they need to leave something in that tomb that day. Their doubts, their fears, their brokenness, their disappointment. The first thing you do is you need to identify what you need to leave in the tomb. You see, some of us, we deal with this stuff our whole lives until we walk with the Lord in heaven. You know, what do I need to leave in the tomb? I'm not good enough. I've done too much. Nobody likes me. Nobody loves me. What do you need to leave in the tomb today? You have to identify it. I thought it was interesting that the angel said, come in here and look. Come here and see. I believe that Jesus wants you to recognize what you need to leave in the water. And then you leave it there by faith. And you walk away from it. I love what they said. And then when you leave it there, then guess what? I love this passage, Colossians 3:1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. You see, read the whole New Testament, you'll see. You died with Him and you were raised with Him. And Paul said in Colossians 3:1, since you've been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. You see, Why would you need to set your mind on things above? Because when you put your mind on what God has done for you and who He says you are, that faith releases the power of God to raise, that raised Christ from the dead, releases that same supernatural power inside of me. And now, my whole life, I've been ruled by this fear. I've been ruled by these doubts. I've been ruled by these judgments. And the day I give my faith and my heart to Him, when I believe what He said, that changes, and what had controlled me my whole life is gone. Because there's a greater power living inside of you today because of Him. So the same power that raised Christ from the dead, so you set your minds on what's above. What's the key to life? It's believing what Jesus says, and it'll release joy and peace, purpose, fulfillment. Literally, it's the key to your mental health is found out in agreeing with Christ and disagreeing with the grave. Leave that stuff there. That's not ruling your life anymore. It's the key to a successful life in our world and to mental health. I wrote that down because it really is. Then Eleanor, she read the last passage. That was so cute, Eleanor. I loved it. And it was powerful. Interesting passage she read. The women rushed quickly to tell His disciples, and their hearts were filled with wonder and great joy. Why were their hearts filled with joy? What happened? You know what they saw? They saw that the same power, you see, you and I were included in His death, which sets us free from everything in our past. And we were included in His resurrection, which releases the power of God in our lives, just like His. You see, Jesus was the first of many brothers. He was the first. And He invited us to be born again the same way He was born again. He invited us to participate in His resurrection. So that's why you know, the worship team was invited us to worship and celebrate, because you know what? Now we have experienced, we were included in His resurrection. Not because of what you've done, not because of what I've done or haven't done or did. It's because of what He's done. He welcomed us into the power of God and the resurrection with Him. And then they did something really interesting. They shared the good news. You see, what do we do? You know, we would love to. You know, that's why we love to invite our friends and everybody who's here today that would love to stay and eat with us. It's because we want to share the same joy we experience with you, with the world. And today, if you're here and this is your first time, you're a visitor, come on, that's exciting. We're glad you're here. Have fun with us. And we all enjoyed the kids. I hope you're enjoying the whole service. And then we're going to eat and we're going to have fun. We're going to talk and we're going to be family. You see, and then next week, come back and join us again. We won't have a free meal again next week unless you want to give us one. But we will get together and we'll share life together. And we live this way week after week after week. So what did they do? The women rushed quickly to go tell their friends. Guys, once you've experienced life from Him, go share it with your friends. Invite your friends. Let them experience the same joy you've experienced. That's what Easter is about. It's about the resurrection. And I can see, I begin 40 years later after having that curiosity in my mind, God, I don't understand. We talk about the cross all the time. You know, and I know you guys noticed, we have a cross with nobody on it. And that's intentional in the evangelical church. Because Jesus isn't there. He's not there. He's here. And He's in you. And He's in each one of us. And the resurrection power He experienced is the same power that lives inside of us. Today, I want to invite you to begin believing, having faith about what He says, and putting to death. He defeated that demon already, that spirit of fear. And now we get to finish the job. every time we stand up and say yes to Him and no to Him. We do too. Okay? So I just thank the children's team for helping us do this every Easter, or for two Easters. And I'm glad you're here. And I want to invite you to stay and eat. And Daniel, you want to come and give us instructions? This, the food, this is about the deal. And how about you give instructions and I'll pray and dismiss us, okay?
Cool. So what we're going to be doing is right after service, if you're staying to join us for the meal, if you could exit off your left side around this hallway, that's where we're going to start the main line. And then if your kids and you are leaving right after church, we still want to make sure you guys get an Easter basket. So the Easter baskets are going to be right in our lobby area. And grab one. And thank you guys for coming today.
Let's all stand up, and I'm going to pray, and then we invite you to join us in the back room for let's have lunch together, okay? So, God, I just thank you for today, for your plans and everything you did. I thank you for our kids, God. And I ask the Lord that you'd help us all to have the heart of a child, that we would trust you, we'd listen to your voice, and we would silence those dark thoughts that come from the enemy. God, we just speak against the spirit of fear, and today we'd be able to be free from that thing. We just thank you, God. Thank you for everybody who served, everybody who's prepared and given for this. We just praise you, King. Amen. Amen. Greet each other. Thank you for being here this morning.